Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone is Jennifer Turner, who is the superintendent of the Fort McMurray Public School Division. And Jennifer, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes and here to talk about how the first month has gone for the division since students, staff, and teachers were allowed back in the schools to resume in-class teaching. And we've seen a few cases pop up with the Catholic School District. However, there hasn't been many with your division. So I guess, how would you rate the first month so far?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on today. I think that the first few weeks of school have actually gone better than we would have anticipated. We've had a really strong bit of feedback around our staggered entry. We felt like it was really important to slow our entry back into school down, allow staff to wrap around students to be able to provide them instruction on the new prevention measures that are in place. How do we enter a school? Where are there sanitizer stations? What is the expectation around mask use? What is this self-assessment? How are students using that self-assessment, or staff, families using that self-assessment before they're arriving at school? And really establishing clear communication processes between school and home on what those prevention measures are. And it seems that those efforts have paid off. We've had very low numbers, one confirmed case in our schools, and another couple that just on the fringes of the outsides. And so out of an abundance of caution, we put some additional supports in place. But it really feels like the efforts that were made to slow down, provide that instruction for students and for families, and those prevention measures that we have put in place, and honestly, the due diligence of families. They've been really doing all of the right things, following those self-assessments and not sending their students to school while they have any kind of a symptom of illness. And so very appreciate our families. We are successful because of the work that they've been involved with as well.
Mm-hmm. When you mentioned that you've had one confirmed case and two on the fringe, when you mentioned two on the fringe, is that like family members of individuals who are going to your schools?
I won't identify sort of the individual, but we've had two cases that were the individuals were on site, but did not were not actually on site while they were contagious. So after an extended piece of time away from school, then they were identified as having positive test results. So we're really fortunate about that. We had to dig into our attendance records to make sure, and our really good partnership with Alberta Health Services and their school contact tracing teams. Mm-hmm. Really helped provide that perspective and that information and clarification for us. So we've had really good work in partnership with our classroom teachers and our schools taking attendance records and regular access with Alberta Health Services and their school investigation teams to ensure that we understand if there were any children or staff or parents in our schools with positive results. And so far, we've been very fortunate and we've seen low numbers. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping for that. I know we head into a long weekend right now. We're heading into a long weekend, and one of the things that we saw after the September long weekend, 10 to 14 days later, was a spike in cases in schools across the city. And that's, of course, when we also received our first case. So I'm really cognizant of what's going on for our long weekend coming up, and would want for families and people all across the city to just take those extra precautions and know we'll know how we did in 14 days, right? At the beginning of November, we'll see that's when we'll see the impact of long weekend family gatherings.
Definitely a good message to pass along. And I'm not trying to compare, but when people see the numbers between the two school districts division, and there have been a lot more cases up at the Catholic School District, and I've seen measures at both the FMPSD and FMCSD, and they're almost a carbon copy. So nothing against the Catholic for seeing more cases. Do you see maybe this has just been a little, you know, it seems like because all the cases are community transmission, it's kind of like a little bit of a luck of the draw?
You know, our hearts and prayers go out to the children and families and staff at the Catholic system. We absolutely are heartbroken and share in their worry about the health and safety of their individuals. It's been lucky. We ask for people to get tested. People are tested. Some of our staff are getting tested every couple of weeks, so they want to always make sure asymptomatic testing that they're on top of their health status. We've got families coming in and talking with us constantly about their testing. We have staff being tested. I've heard sort of the question as well. We're not hiding anything. We absolutely are encouraging our people to be tested, and we've just been lucky. We've just been really lucky, and I've talked with our staff. It's not a matter of if, it's when. You know, our time will come. We will see cases in our schools, and we're doing everything that we possibly can to try and minimize that risk, really reinforcing those messages of self-assessment, and please don't come to school if you have any symptoms. And the other thing that we're cautioning on is those gatherings, right? If you have outside of your cohort or outside of your family, you've got mixing of all kinds of people, that's where you increase your opportunity. And so when you're in those environments, please wear a mask. That's going to reduce the potential that you come into contact and be exposed to a case.
That mindset of we know that we're going to see cases, more cases pop up, that has to be a tough mindset to have.
It's really disheartening. One of the things that we believe, and I see this in all of our staff, whether you're a teacher or a custodian or a front office secretary or anybody in between, education assistants, we want the best for our kids. We have engaged in this work as educators. All of those individuals are educators, and they engage in their work in a school environment because they care deeply about children and the growth and development of children. We do not want to see that our environment would potentially contribute to illness, and we don't know the lasting impacts of COVID-19. So we want to make sure that we're doing everything we possibly can to mitigate that risk. It's one thing to have a common cold or a flu bug, which we often see in schools, but we absolutely don't want, this is an unknown new situation, and we're doing everything we possibly can to reduce that risk.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of schools within the division, so knowing about every single, little incident situation could be tough, but do we know of any, incident where maybe there were some individuals within the school division that were maybe not wanting to follow some of the protocols? When we talk about masks, it seems like that's a very, heated debate with some people on, against masks, some people for masks. And of course, we know that, masks are mandatory in schools. Have you heard of any situations like that within the division?
I certainly know that it's a topic in community, but it has not been a topic in our schools. Our staff are understanding this is part of the prevention measures that is going to keep themselves, their family, and their other students safe. In fact, I was surprised to where it is not mandatory by the health regulations. We are seeing individuals actually voluntarily choosing to wear masks as well. We see a number of those things happen. So that debate that's occurring in community, I've not heard it. I know that people would prefer not to have to wear masks, but I think there's a general understanding in school system that this is one of the many prevention measures that are going to help keep us all safe. And as I've been into schools, I've been in all of our schools over the first month, and some more than one time, and each time I'm seeing students and staff with their masks, signing into the building, making sure that they're available for contact tracing, doing the self-assessment and sanitizing before they come in. People are just really vigilant. Those are the things that are going to keep us safe. And I think that although they don't like it, it's about not liking the current circumstances with COVID, and not about not wanting to be following those prevention measures for everybody's safety.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Jennifer Turner, superintendent of the Fort McMurray Public School Division.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Jennifer Turner, Superintendent of the Fort McMurray Public School Division. And we're talking about the first month back to school and how things have been going as we continue to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, we know from the province that an outbreak will be declared at a school when there are two cases within 14 days, whether it be from community transmission or school transmission. Fortunately, up here, none of them have been through school transmission. There have been no outbreaks declared at the FMPSD. Fortunately, there has been no, five-case outbreaks, which would put us on the provincial watch list across Fort McMurray. But do we know what the criteria would be for when, you know, a school has to consider maybe even closing its doors temporarily if we start seeing too many cases pop up?
Absolutely, and I feel very appreciative for Alberta Health Services and the provincial government produced a document. It's called K-12 School Setting Outbreak Management, what to do before, during, and after an outbreak. It's a multi-page document. It outlines what Alberta Health Services roles are, what the roles of the school and the school staff are. They've provided essentially a hotline for superintendent so that I can get up-to-date moment-by-moment information around advice for our school setting, and there's clear directives of what does that look like, when is it going to be, you know, if there is a case in a school and it's an individual in a particular classroom, what happens to the classroom, and how long might they be required to stay home and to isolate, what would happen if it's more than one classroom, multiple classrooms, and at what point is it, you know, is there a tipping point and it becomes the whole school. And so those that information is clearly outlined in that document produced by the government and by Alberta Health Services, and they provide very timely, clear communication to school divisions around when that decision needs to be made. So I don't feel that that is a that there's inconsistency or that it's left to one individual and their personal beliefs. There's a clear framework, there's clear expectations, and there's Alberta Health guidance on when that needs to occur and when that doesn't need to occur. And we've shared that document with all of our schools. It's linked in our reentry plan, and just this week we also shared it with our Joint Networks Committee, which means that there's a representative from each school council, the parent council, and we shared that document and that those guidelines with the parents as well, just trying to get the information out there. I don't know if it's well known, but it is well done, and those are the things that we're following direction.
Seems like, yeah, every case, it's going to be different. So it's hard to, I guess, pinpoint and put a number on, and that's when the school will close down.
In our experience, what I can share is that there is a very skilled school investigation team, so that when a case is identified in a school, you are given a reference number and a school investigation team. And they do the contact tracing to see how many individuals have been affected and what that percentage of the school is, and whether they're indicating because of the number of classes or the number of contact points that it's best in the best interest of everybody to close that school. So we are working with a skilled investigation team around school cases, and we have that support. I know that to be true. It was in our experience and in my discussion with other superintendents and other schools to learn from their experience. They shared that as well, that school investigation team wraps around and makes that determination to the benefit and the health of everybody.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with Jennifer Turner, Superintendent of the Fort McMurray Public School Division.
We'll return a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Jennifer Turner, Superintendent of the Fort McMurray Public School Division. And we're talking about how the first month of school being back to in-class teaching has gone as we continue to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. I've asked this question multiple times, and I'm sure there's going to be a few people, you know, listening, being like, oh, I already know the answer. Why are you asking this? But I think it's important still, just because there are some families out there who are still a little nervous about sending their children to schools. But can you just kind of talk again about some of the protocols that are in schools right now to help, limit the spread of the virus?
Sure. So prevention measures that are recommended by Alberta Health Services and into practice in the schools. First and foremost, the most important preventative measure that is there that we would ask everybody to follow is the self-assessment. Before you come to school, before you decide to venture away from your home, the most important thing that any one of us can do is that self-assessment and make a determination of whether we're feeling well enough to be out. As students arrive, they're sanitizing their hands. Grade 4 through 12 are wearing masks. And many of our kindergarten through grade 3 voluntarily choose, their family chooses, they're also wearing masks. I've seen as many as 30 to 50% of kids in that primary age range wearing a mask, making sure that we've got wonderful day custodians in all of our buildings doing enhanced cleaning protocols, looking at high-touch places, doorknobs, sink taps, all different kinds of surfaces that would be regularly high touch. We're looking after those kinds of things, sanitizer between each of the spaces, trying to limit the amount of movement between schools, between classrooms, between hallways, those other kind of things. There's plexiglass in a variety of different places, the office, the student services area, small or confined spaces in which individuals can't be separated. There are also a variety of different plexiglass table separators to be able to have students at a table in together but was separated by plexiglass. I know that a number of our schools had previously gone to tables and put their desks in storage, and the desks have now come back out of storage. Lots of more individual spaces for students to be working at, and so that they have that opportunity to be in their own space. So there's a whole variety of things that are being done in school. Traffic flow markers to indicate traffic flow so that we're not having congestion in hallways or in common spaces. So many things that are in place to try to look to the health and safety of all students and staff. And I would say that it is our real adherence to those measures and those practices that are probably contributing in some part to the success that we're having. Mm-hmm. Some of it's probably luck, and some of it is the vigilance that our families have as well. And so it's a combination between the three of them. But the schools really are doing a wonderful job. I have to commend all of our schools, all of our staff, and our kids and their families for following those preventative measures. I know that they are unusual, and at times they can lead to frustration. But they are working, and right now, although we are maybe tired of those measures or tired of the question, now is not the time to let down our guard. We know that COVID-19 is on the rise in this province. We know that Edmonton is on the verge, right? They've been talking in the news about Edmonton, what else is going to have to happen because of the numbers going up. And so it's not time right now to loosen our practices and become more relaxed in our approach to COVID-19. Our practices, our preventative measures, our adherence to those things, our personal sacrifices, they're paying off, and our numbers are staying low in the city, all across the city, and that's because we've got a city working really hard on those measures.
A group of individuals who I think don't get enough credit, or at least they don't get as many shout-outs as they should, definitely right now are custodians, even before the pandemic. But right now, during the pandemic, they definitely deserve a shout-out. And Jennifer, unfortunately, we only have a couple minutes left, but there's one last thing I wanted to chat with you about. And we've been hearing some rumors around the community around layoffs at the division. Have you guys had any layoffs to start the new school year?
Thank you so much for asking that question and providing an opportunity to clear up the rumors. I also have heard them. We have reassigned staff, and so one of the things that's important to know is that staffing is based on student enrollment. And every September, we need to, on September 30th, declare to government what our overall enrollment is. And as so we try and project to the best of our ability the number of students that we believe that we're going to have registered with us. We staff initially based on our projected numbers, and then at the end of September, we need to make changes. We have reassigned staff to other areas of the division where there is a need, and so that means some classes have collapsed, some classes have had students move around. Those things have occurred. They occur every September. And we have not released those staff. People who we have hired and put onto contract, they still have jobs. They've just been reassigned to different parts of the division where there are other needs. And so it really is student enrollment dependent that drives the number of students. Our class sizes are within provincial expectations, they are within other divisions, and they actually are slightly lower than they have been in years past because of COVID and the flood and the current economic system, the situation that's going on in our community and in our province. We are seeing families make different choices, right? And some moving out of community and some remaining in, some going to online learning. And so some shifting around has occurred over the month of September, and our staffing readjustments and transferring and moving staff are a result of all of those realities. But ultimately our staff, we have staff that are reflect the number of students who are enrolled in our system. And all of those individuals that we made commitments to have been reassigned to other roles and other duties, and they are valuable employees that are going to contribute to the excellent teaching and learning experiences that our children have here in FMPSD.
All right. Well, Jennifer, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. But thank you so much again for taking a couple of minutes out of your day to come on the show. Best of luck in the next month. Hopefully, we don't see any new cases of COVID, fingers crossed. But we'll have a chat at the end of the month.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And I wish you and all of the listeners a very happy Thanksgiving weekend, a long weekend. I hope that everyone is able to remain safe and healthy and are rejuvenated over this extended break. Thank you.
Now, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.